For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, June the 21st, 1982. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the afternoon. As most of you know, and if you don't know, you will before you leave, that our basic purpose and reason for being here is so we can pray for and with people. That's the reason why we're here. That's why God brought us here. We have seen and expect to see lots and lots of results. We're sorry to say that everybody that has come here and has been prayed for has not been delivered or healed or set free. That makes us feel bad because we expect to see the glory of the Lord move when nobody will leave without receiving that for which they need. I expect that, and I believe that to happen and to be so, that it shall be that way. I expect to see also the glory of the Lord manifest in our midst by the actual fire of the Holy Spirit. I expect the days to come, and may even now be, when as we minister here and pray in here, that this building will be covered with the fire of the Lord. And it shall be visibly seen by those without as well as within. I believe that will happen, and I believe it to be so, that it shall be. Praise the name of the Lord. We got involved in the deliverance ministry because of ourselves and seeing the great need of others. And the Lord has put us in strange situations where we have been forced to do things that we had no intention or thought about doing, and has led us and taught us in these ways about situations and understanding of different problems and discerning of spirits. And if we weren't trying to learn, we were just, situations arose and we just had to take care of them. And in so doing, why, we came to a knowledge of certain things about evil spirits and the way some of them act and how they do and what the problems of people are. When the minister that Irma was referring to came to Los Angeles, he came for 7 days. He had rented the Embassy Auditorium, one of the large rooms in the Embassy Auditorium, Wings of Healing. And he came for a seven-day meeting. And we had gotten acquainted with him when he was here for 3 days, when he was there in Pasadena for 3 days prior to his returning several months later to the Embassy Auditorium, or to the Embassy, one of the auditoriums in the Embassy in the Embassy Hotel, at where the Embassy Auditorium was. We became involved, and I recorded those sessions and started out to do it for 7 days and ended up doing it for, how long did it go? 7 weeks. He came for 1 week and stayed seven. And we had service every day of the week, 7 days a week. We had Saturday, Sunday afternoons, and then every night the other 6 days. And the services never got over before midnight. And sometimes it was 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and finally the caretaker got so that at 12:30 he would turn the lights out. Whether we were finished or not, he would turn the lights out. And once in a while we've stayed as long as till 1 o'clock or even after he turned the lights out, still praying with people and for people. And then when we'd shut the door, it would be locked. But he'd have to turn the lights out. That was part of his duty, and we didn't be meaning for it. We knew that he had to go. My own personal deliverance, the most of any manifestation that I ever had to amount to a great deal, happened during those meetings. And most of the time when something happens to me, I'll yawn or cough or something like that, and that's the extent of it. But I determined that I wanted to pray for me. And so I fasted for 3 days without food or water. And I didn't eat or drink anything for 3 days. And this night, when he was through ministering, why, I had told him ahead of time that I wanted him to I want them to pray for me that evening. And I had brought with me some tomato juice with a little bit of lemon squeezed in it for my first liquid after I got prayed for that night. Well, they started to pray for me, and as they did, I found myself prostrate on the floor. And as they prayed, I could feel this demon spirit in my feet. My feet started to turn cold and numb, both feet. And as they continued to pray, it moved up my legs. And every time they would stop praying, it would quit moving. And then when they'd start praying again, it would continue to move. And it would move up my legs. And then when it got up into my stomach area, well, I began to have cramps and pains in my stomach. And if they would quit praying, I would have terrible cramps and pains. And then if they start to pray again, those cramps and pains would diminish, and it would keep moving up and up and up, up. And when it got up into my lower chest area, they quit praying. It would feel like I had a band around my chest, and it was tightening around me. And it got up into my heart area, and if they were quit, it'd feel like my heart was going to quit working. It was just terrible on my heart. And then it got up above my heart, and they'd quit, and then feel like I couldn't get my breath. I couldn't breathe. And finally got up my throat, and when it got up to there, and they would quit, it would feel like something like two vice steel hands was choking me to death. And finally, and they'd quit praying, and I'd say, "Don't stop, don't stop." And then I couldn't get so I couldn't even talk, you know. And then they prayed, and finally it came up till it got above my ears. I could feel it at the top of my ears, and then it left me. But it just went as far as the top of my ears. And for years and years and years, I told Brother Prince about it, and others, they pray with me, and nothing never seemed to happen. But I could feel, always feel, especially when I was in a service where they were praying like we are here, I could feel that place where that had stopped. But it had seemingly come out of me and left me, but it was there. So a couple of years ago, something like that, I don't remember exactly, Brother Worley came by one time. Some of the ministers do sometimes when we don't have any services here. They just come by and stop for a few days and get lost so they can rest, you know. And so he and his wife came by from visiting down in Texas, and they stopped. They stayed here for a week. And during that time, while we just had our own prayer meetings and our own sessions, you know, and had discussing things and talking and praying about things. So I told him one day I want him to pray some more for me for my head. I'd had it prayed for, you know, everybody else. So that night, while he started praying for me and several others, whoever was here, and we prayed, and he started breaking bands on me. And as he began to break these bands, that began to leave. And I guess he prayed with me about an hour or so, and I really don't know what all. I don't even know if he remembers. I don't remember what. But he prayed breaking bands on me. And the more he prayed, the more until, and when he finished, that has never been there above my ears again. It's gone. But I could always feel that there. Well, now that's just one of my experiences that I've had. But we've had experiences of many kinds like that. I'll tell you of a couple of others. And then I'll let Irma come up. She mentioned here one time about an experience we had over in Denver, Colorado. And a few of you have heard it, and I'll tell you again. But over in Denver, Colorado, one year, Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention, the convention was all over. The last service had been an afternoon banquet, and everybody was gone. And, of course, we had all the books and tapes and all the equipment to load up and get packed away and get ready to travel. And in Denver, there were three lovely people there who had a little bit of a mental problem. One of them was a World War II veteran who had gotten hurt and had a little bit of a mental problem, and another man and his wife. And they always were waiting at the dock in Denver, Colorado, to help us. Bless them, Lord. No matter what time of day we'd get in, they were at the hotel waiting there to help us unload and take care of setting up. And they were a blessing to us, and we appreciate them. And so they were there helping us load up this evening, about 6 o'clock, I guess it was by now, or something like that. Maybe it was 7 o'clock. But they were helping us pack the books in the boxes and get the tapes put away and get all the duplicators and the recorders and everything loaded up, packed into our Winnebago, getting ready to travel on to the next Full Gospel Convention. And we men had one of the big dollies from the bellhops, and we were loading it and taking it down the elevator and loading it into the... and there were three young girls sliding up and down the banister on the escalator. They had turned the escalators off and turned the lights all out in the lobby, and only the lights on where we had on where we were working. And the three girls were about 12 or 13, 14 years old, and they were sliding up and down the escalators. And they were daughters of directors of the Full Gospel Businessmen, and one of them was the daughter of Vicki Winton, who comes here from time to time and plays and sings for us here from New Mexico. And a woman came up the escalator and started talking to these three young girls. And one of the men who was helping me, I said, go over there and see what that woman is talking about. So he went over and listened a while, and pretty soon he came back and he said, that woman says that she's going to kill herself. And I said, well, you go get Irma and tell Irma to go talk to her. Well, Irma didn't like that because we here was the end of convention, like when this is over, and we had all that work to do. And she said, thanks a lot, you know. So anyway, we went on. He went and told her, and we left and went on to unload the load of books into the Winnebago. And when we come back, well, Irma had this lady over talking to her. And she said, so the story is that she had told Irma that she had been the song director and music director at the big church in Kansas City under C.C. Wilson. And she had got involved, and she had twin boys, and she had got involved and with someone there, and because of shame and all, she had just picked up and disappeared. Nobody knew where she was. And by this time, she was like a blimp. She had psoriasis all over her body, and the only thing she was wearing was a wraparound dress. That's the only piece of clothing she had on. And so Irma told her, she said to Irma, what's wrong with her? Irma asked her if she knew what was wrong with her, what? And she asked Irma, she knew, and Irma said, yes, you're full of demons. And the woman said, well, for once, somebody's telling the truth. So when Irma come back, well, she told her, you wait till the men get back, and then we'll pray for you. Well, when we got back, Irma told us, and we said, well, we'll pray for her. So we began to pray with her, and she had this, her head, her hair, and everything. She was just a mass of all over. She had all over her body. And Irma kind of scringed a little bit at first about laying hands on her. But, you know, you can't do that. You have to do it anyway.
You have to love the unlovely, you know. Because maybe it could be us or our daughter. Or your daughter, you know. So anyway, we started to pray with her, and when we did, well, there was a box of books that had been packaged, ready to load, to take down, sitting on a table right in front of her.
And she picked up this box of books, this whole box, and she slung it about 50 feet across that room. Anger took a hold of her, and the demon manifested, and we started binding it up. And the three young ladies were there. And we told them, quick, pray in tongues. So they all got busy. Their eyes got, you know, big as dollars at first. And then they were ready to do anything. We told them to pray in tongues, and they got busy and started it. And they were good prayer warriors.
They were good prayer warriors. And they'll never forget that night. But we prayed with that woman
for about an hour or so, I guess. And God delivered her many things. And she was living with a colored man in a hotel room, just for a place to stay, for a bed to sleep in. And she had been in a bar down the street. And she said Satan walked along and talked to her, or one of his demons. But somebody in that bar had told her that what she needed to do was come up, because she had made up her mind that she was either going to kill somebody or she was going to commit suicide and kill herself that night. But somebody in that bar had told her that there was a meeting going on in the ballroom of the Hilton Hotel there in Denver. And if she would come up there, there would be somebody there that could help her. Now, if that was an angel of the Lord that was there, Larry, could have been. Could have been, just as well as not. You know, That's where people are needed more, is there, where the word of the Lord's not in the churches. It's needed in the bars and those places. But anyway, somebody told her that if she would come up there, so that's how she happened to be there. And on the way up, she said Satan walked alongside her and told her that she should jump out in front of the car, or that she should jump over the bridge, over the freeway, and in front of the cars beneath. But she didn't. She came on up, and we prayed with her. And when we were finished praying with her, why, I told Irma, I said, we can't let this woman go back to where she came from. And so Irma says, what are we going to do with her? And we said, well, we don't know. Well, one of the people there spoke up and said, one of the men, he had God give him wisdom. And he said, we need to take her to the women's teen challenge. We agreed, yes, that's where she should go. Well, how do we get there? So I said, well, we'll have to get a taxi cab. And I told Irma, I said, Irma, you'll have to take her. Irma said, not me. I said, yes, you'll have to go with her. So this man said, well, I know where it's at. So we said, okay. So I said, go get on the telephone and call first and see if they'll take her, if they'll let you bring her over. So Irma called, and they said, yes, bring her over. So we gave her a Bible, and Irma and this man went down into the front lobby of the Hilton Hotel with this now prostitute, or whatever you want to call her, worse than that. That she's far past that. And walked out to the bellhop and said, what do you need? And she said, Irma said, we need a taxi cab. And he said, I'll get one for you. So while he went to call a taxi up, Irma walked out the front door. And to her chagrin, standing at the front door was Sister Rose Shakarian, two other directors' wives, all dressed in their minks and formals, going out to dinner. And Rose turned to Irma and she said, Irma, what are you doing? And Irma said, we're taking care of this lady. And then Irma said, we just got through praying for her. She came for help, and we prayed with her. And then Irma turned to one of the ladies there and said, because both of the women standing there with Sister Rose, both of their daughters, or one granddaughter and one daughter, were the two of the girls outside of Vicky, who had been there with us, praying with them. And Irma turned to them and told them that their daughter and granddaughter had helped pray for this woman. And she said, oh, wasn't that lovely? It really was lovely, because those girls will never forget that to their dying day. So Irma and this man took her over and deposited her over at the women's, at the teen challenge, at the men's, and then they in turn transported her on. And Irma gave them some money to help pay for her food for a while. But we've never heard from that lady woman since. But that's one incidence of how the Lord's led us and brought us into the deliverance ministry through the needs that we've seen in other people's lives as well as our own. We were with Derek Prince down in Houston. With him, we traveled with him some and helped in some of his meetings. And we were with him in Houston at the big church in Houston. And he was holding a week's meeting there, and we were there helping him. And the last afternoon service had just concluded of the series of meetings. And Derek and Sister Prince were going out to dinner with some of the people there at the church. And Irma and I had to put away the recorders and the books and all of this and load them up. And Irma was standing visiting with a lady at the book table. And I was getting my recording equipment ready to load up. And this lady at the book table was telling Irma goodbye. She was from over in Jackson, Mississippi, a lady we had met over there at the Full Gospel Business Men's Conventions. And she had been in Houston because she had cancer. And we had prayed with her and worked with her. And she was telling Irma goodbye, and she began to cry because she felt that she was like she was all going to be all alone now, you know. And Irma said to her, oh, now don't let... And just as she was talking, another lady walked up to the book table, a beautiful lady dressed in a white linen suit with beautiful necklaces and diamond rings on her finger, a beautiful woman about 40 years old, maybe not quite, but in that vicinity. And just as this was going on, she walked up to the table. And Irma said to this woman, she said, now don't let that spirit of grief take you over. And just as she said that, a demon in this other beautiful lady said, talked out of her and said, she doesn't, but in a voice that wasn't hers, he said, she doesn't have a spirit of grief. and then she screamed and fell on the flagstone floor and rolled underneath the book table. Well, Sister Stanley walked up, so Irma had some assistance to play with this lady. Well, the other lady stayed and prayed a while, but she wasn't really capable, so they stayed and prayed, and pretty soon I came out and begin to pray, and for about 2.5 hours, we dealt with this lady on the flagstone floor at the front door of this church. And in the process of praying with her, she would flounce and frail and throw her arms and kick and scream. And in the middle of it, the assistant pastor and a police officer walked out and found this scene on the floor. But at the moment in time they happened to walk there, the lady was quiet and wasn't carrying on. And they walked, the policeman said, "Oh, do we need an ambulance? Do we need some help?" And the assistant pastor, he didn't know this was going on, or he wouldn't have walked out there with the police officer. They were investigating a theft that they'd had in the building. And he said, "No, I think that everything's under control, that these ladies are capable of taking care of her." And they went on. And then, but why I'm telling you this, it also has another reason. We learned something very valuable from this experience. This lady, in the process of praying with her, said the different spirits were naming themselves. This isn't necessary, and it doesn't always happen, but it just happened in this case that they were. Each spirit was naming itself. We weren't asking them to, but one spirit said, "You don't know my name," and said, and it wouldn't tell us its name. And pretty soon, the Spirit of the Lord discernment came on Irma, and she said, "No, we don't know your name. But the Holy Spirit knows your name, and in the name of Jesus, you tell us your name. The Holy Spirit knows, and you tell us your name." And it said, "I'm unbelief. I kill the Christians. I won't let them believe when they're healed." And we thought, how true, how true. Unbelief kills the Christians. Not the unsaved, kills the Christians. They won't let you believe you're healed. They won't let you believe the word of the Lord. They won't let you accept the fact that Jesus was at the whipping post for you and me. That by his stripes we were healed. Unbelief. And then Irma said to it said, "Where did you come from?" It said, "I came in when she was 3 years old. This is my house. I own it. I live here, and I won't come out." But it did come out, and it wasn't its house. It belonged to the Lord. And she was delivered and set free. Well, Irma asked her later, "What happened when she was 3 years old?" And she said, "When she was 3 years old, her and her little sister or brother was playing in the front yard, and there was a mad dog loose in the neighborhood. And this mad dog ran in the yard where these children were, and her mother ran out and grabbed the children and came up and threw them in the house. Just literally threw them in the house and slammed the door. And I think she went and got the shotgun or something. She went and got a shotgun and killed the dog. And it frightened this child so with fright that this spirit of unbelief came in at that time of fright when this child was frightened so when she was 3 years old." You see, that's how the Lord teaches us things about demonic spirits. So those are just two instances of things that's happened in our lives as we've traveled. There's been hundreds of them. Literal hundreds of them happened since that time to us and to others, to the Hammonds and to the Worleys and all. As we work and deal with people, we've had hundreds of cases here that I could stand here and tell you about till morning. But that won't get you delivered. That won't help you be free. But it does give us an understanding that demon spirits are real. They're not to be played with, but we have authority over them. We are their conquerors. We have, because Jesus said, "I give you authority." So in the name of Jesus, we have authority. And we don't have to fear them. We have no fear of them. We should have no fear of them. We might be concerned sometimes about something that they do or something, but we should never have a fear of them. I'll tell you one more instance that happened here in this building. And there are some of the men here in the building that took part in this. There was a young man who was an assistant mathematics instructor at the University of Arkansas here from Columbia. He's a doctor's father, a doctor's son from Columbia. And he was assistant to the professor here in the University of Arkansas.
And he became taken over by fear. He got so he was afraid to go in a grocery store. He got so he was afraid to ride in a car on the street or walk on the street. And somebody, somehow, I do not know how it happened, but somebody sent him here for us to pray with him. He told him that if he'd come down here, he'd find some help. So he came one day, and we had a service that evening and or afternoon. I don't know if it was a Sunday afternoon when we were having service or Sunday afternoon. It wasn't evening service, but he came, and he was a Christian boy. He had found the Lord, and he knew the Lord. And we come to find out in talking with him that he had gotten deeply involved in karate and Eastern religion, and he had gotten so in karate that where he was up in the hierarchy of karate, past the black belt and all of that, and he was in what is known as Aikido. It's the highest form of karate, and two components stand and confront each other without ever laying hands on them. They do it with mind control and demon power, and they pin their opponent or throw them to the floor and do all of these things without ever touching them. And it's demon activity is what it is. And he had gotten into that, and he was able to do that. And we counseled him and told him and that this was demonic and that he would have to renounce it. But he had gotten saved and had, believed, received the Holy Spirit. But so he renounced all of this and was willing and wanted to be free from it. And he realized it was wrong. So we began to pray with him. And it was right over about in between, just behind that first column in that area, out about 10 feet there. And he was sitting in a chair there. And several of us men began to pray with him and bind the evil spirits. And all of a sudden, the spirit of karate took him over. And he took out after about three or four of the fellas. And, you know, when the demon power takes over, he could have laid a thaw out. Well, they all made a grab for him to pin him. And at the same time, we bound the evil spirit in him. And he fell to the floor and lay there. And then we begin to work on this spirit of Aikido and karate and demanded that Talib had to leave, that Jesus was Lord here and this wasn't his house and that he didn't have any rights here anymore. So he lay there for a few minutes as we did this, and all of a sudden this demon spirit began to come out of him. And he began to writhe a little bit, you know, on the floor, and then it left him. And it just come out of him with a, and left him lay there limp. And then we had the other building here then with the high roof ceiling in here. It was the first building that we built that came to right here, and it was all wood. And it had this brown paneling across here behind the pulp, the platform. The platform was out there a little bit. And right here, about where this picture hangs, only higher here, it sounded all of a sudden as if the whole end of the building was coming out. And the whole building just vibrated. The whole building shook and vibrated, but it just sounded like the end of that building was coming out. As that evil spirit of karate and Aikido left and gave us a demonstration of its power as it went out of the building, as it went through the wall. And the building just vibrated with that power. And that boy was set free and delivered of that spirit of fear that had bound him and suicide. And but the strong man in it was this Eastern religions and karate. Karate was the strong man that had brought in all the others. And he was delivered and set free. Well, that's just some of the instances and things that we have been confronted with. And there are many others here who can stand here and tell you instances of similar things. But the most important thing of all is that we have the authority and the power to bind them up and set the captive free, if you really want to be free. Now, if you really, really in your heart really aren't interested in obeying and doing those things that are necessary to be free, you might get free for a little while, but you might be worse off afterwards. So if you're not interested in really being free from the things that torment and bind you, don't bother anybody to pray with you, because you'll waste their time, because you're still going to, the evil spirits will come back again. And they may bring more with them, because the Word says so. But if you really want to be free, the Lord will set you free. And you don't have to worry about taking on somebody else's evil spirit. Because if you don't sit there and make fun and laugh and say there's nothing to it, nothing can bother you. The blood of the Lord Jesus is our protection, and it covers and protects us in the authority of His Word. By His Word, we bind them so that there's no fear. You have no fear of evil spirits. Your children have no fear. You have no fear for your children here in this place, because the Spirit of the Lord, by the authority of His Word, protects and covers and keeps you. And we bind the powers to that end so that there's no fear for any of you. Just don't be negative. Just don't be negative. That is not good for you. And we hope that none of you are, that you all are here because you want to learn and you want to see others as well as yourself set free. That the army of the Lord, which is rising in the land, shall bring deliverance. Bind up Satan. Bind him up to the day of judgment, when God will deal with his evil powers and the fallen angels and with Satan himself. But I believe that he's giving unto us authority and power over all the demon powers. How far we can go with the fallen angels, I don't know. But I do know we can with the evil demons of hell, those we can bind to the day of judgment when God will deal with them. And I believe that that's what he's called this army to, and I believe that's our calling in the land, to set the captives free. Because we are God's battle axe. The word says that we are his battle axe. And he's calling for us to do that for him. Jesus is not coming back to do it. We have to do it for him. And to all those who call on the name of the Lord, there is deliverance. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's all pray in the Spirit for a few minutes. In the Lord, 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 the Sandalabacoriandalia, I see we've had an answer to prayer. I don't quite see, but Glenn tells me the Hammonds are here. Why don't you come on up? We've all been waiting, I guess, for 2 years on you to come back. Are you out of retirement? Good. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And, But some lady gave me a letter this morning, and I feel free, really, to read it, because I think it's very pertinent for the hour. God is changing a lot of people's ministries. What we all were 10 years ago, we're not the same today. Praise God. And you know, I always say we have to get the Baptists in to deliver us, and that's very humiliating, really, to the Assembly of God and Pentecostal people. But praise God for the Baptists, because it is the Word of God. When we say to the enemy, it is written. And the Baptists really know the Word of God. We need to pray for the Baptists. We really do. They are very important in the body of Christ, because they are in the salvation realm, the 30-fold realm, and we praise God for all the people that's getting saved and born again in the Baptist churches and all the other churches. We praise God for the 60-fold realm, the Holy Spirit realm, the gifts of the Spirit realm. And we praise God for a people that's coming out of a people and out of a people that says, we're going for the 100%, the 100-fold, and I am going for that, and I have not arrived. And praise God, I'm going. Praise God, I'm moving. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want to be changed. I don't want to be the same as I was yesterday. But this letter is from David Wilkerson. How many of you have read his April letter? It says, please read this letter through carefully. It will strangely warm and bless your soul in a prophetic way. I want to share with you in detail a miracle God is performing in my life and ministry. God brought me to a crisis about 6 months ago after a tragic year of suffering. Sounds like Job, doesn't it? Gwen, his wife, was in a psychiatric ward. My 27-year-old daughter was stricken with cancer, and my other daughter found lumps in her breast. I couldn't understand it because we had just walked away from a beautiful ranch, turning it over to another ministry, and wiping out most of our assets. Also, I was back on the streets working night and day with troubled people. It was this past November when the Holy Spirit broke through to me, shaking me to the depths of my soul. How many of you want to be shut to the depths of your soul? God said, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. I thought I was humble and sincere, but oh, what he showed me about myself. I began to weep, to fast, and to pray as never before. shut up with God in my prayer hideaway, the Spirit began to reveal truths to me that shocked and stirred my total being. Once again, God began to move upon me in a prophetic way. If you read my last newsletter, you know that I am now preaching a prophetic message entitled Babylon is Falling. We are on the brink of supernatural changes that will startle and amaze us all. Corporate big-time religion is coming down. Christian TV programs and other ministries that have used unconsecrated celebrities to build up their image are going to go bankrupt. Hear me well. Soon this prophecy will come to pass right before our eyes. There will be weeping, begging for money as never before, and their funds are going to dry up. Only the spiritual, sanctified ministries will be left standing. God's discerning people will no longer finance the evangelist who is in league with the world, preaching a show business gospel. The Lord is going to clean up his house, purge the ministry, and humble every true minister of the gospel. And all God's true people will be drawn back to the secret closet of prayer. A new kind of prosperity preaching is coming soon, not the materialistic kind, but preaching about the true riches in Christ Jesus. It will be the kind of preaching that will carry saints even through all the talk about a depression with joy and peace. It will help those who are fearful and afraid, bringing them back to true values. Are you with David Wilkerson? Do you believe that? Also, a new kind of healing ministry is coming. The disease of sin is going to be healed. Men of God will come against the corrupt spirit of this age and bind the demonic powers and pull down the strongholds of the enemy. The Lord is even now raising up a holy standard against the moral landslide in America. The Spirit is moving in restoration power. That's what Joel said. Second chapter of Joel, that's one of my favorite chapters. The last two verses of Malachi are being fulfilled even now as God sends the spirit and power of Elijah, restoring the children to the parents and parents to the children. How many here have children that are wayward, on drugs, living in prostitution, living in adultery? Oh, yes, I see those hands. Divorces will be canceled as the Spirit begins to restore Christian homes. I have seen numerous marriages healed in our meetings in recent weeks. The altars are once again coming to life. The Holy Spirit is coming now as a consuming fire to burn up all the hay, wood, and stubble. And I just recently, the Lord gave me a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire. It's the fire that's going to do it. It's the fire of God, the presence of Almighty God that's going to change this world. And we all have received a measure of the Holy Spirit, but we need the baptism of fire. Praise God, and it's coming. Saints of God, Zion is being visited. The Lord is just now beginning to pour out the promised latter rain. We have not yet seen it in all its glory. It is just now beginning. What glorious supernatural days are ahead. Out of the ashes of materialism and despair, the Spirit is raising up a body of believers totally yielded to Jesus Christ. Don't you, even now as you read this prophecy, sense a stirring in your own heart? You feel that stirring of the Holy Spirit? Aren't you hungry for a powerful new touch from God? Isn't there a cry in you for freedom from sin and for a life of holiness unto the Lord? You can be sure you are being stirred by a sovereign act of God because we are entering the day of visitation. And don't miss it. Don't be left out. Get back to your secret closet. Go on a fast for at least one day a week. Dig deep into God's Word. Shut off your TV. Weep and call on the Lord while He is passing by. You will experience what I am experiencing, the greatest joy and peace that I've ever known. Victory over sin and despair. The love for Jesus overwhelming the heart. Every day has become so exciting because I made up my mind. That is a very good, strong statement. I make up my mind to seek God. I make up my mind to fast one day a week. I make up my mind to pray and read the Word. Every day is exciting because I made up my mind to go all the way and be totally broken, humbled, and obedient to my Lord. Things are changing in my ministry. First of all, our family has been healed. Praise God for the faithfulness of the Lord. All of them, he said. Secondly, I cut back even further by selling off one of my buses and releasing my singing group. I have one singer left and just a skeleton staff, enough to do what he's calling me to do. After I fulfill my present crusade schedule, I'm going to change my direction. I'm going back to the church. My meetings will now be held in major churches. Why? Because I am absolutely convinced that a revival of holiness is coming upon the church. And God has called me to be one of those calling God's people back to repentance and righteousness. Not that I am holier than others, but because He has now given me a special message for the church. The summers I will spend on the streets. The rest of the time I will be in churches. Already I have visited four major churches, some with 4,000 people. I have witnessed the greatest move of God's Spirit I've seen in 40 years, since I was 10 years old. Well, he's the same age as we are, Glenn. There's hope for all of us. While some ministries build and expand, I hear another message. Cut back and consolidate. And God's people have been responding. Like me, they want their mission gifts to go towards people's needs, not buildings and projects. Our ministry is almost debt-free. We are just one special offering away from being free. So I'm coming to you, friends of this ministry, who believe in the direction that we are taking. I feel it is imperative to go into this new ministry, and so on. And he says that he will, by next month, which would have been May, he will be totally free of debt. Now, I tell you, that man has gone through a lot, because his wife had cancer in the worst way, and then to have to take her to the psychiatric ward must have been very earth-shaking for Brother Wilkerson. And I praise God for the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus, that when we pray, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. When we pray, when we fast, and I mean really pray and get down to business. You don't have to say long prayers. I remember it hasn't been very long ago. I was tired in the afternoon at my desk, and I just moved over and sat down on the couch in my office. And just sat there in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just talked about five words in tongues, and I heard myself say, Lord, dynamite that man out of that girl's life. Within 2 days, it was done. It was done. We don't have to say long prayers. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit prays, he knows how to pray perfectly. And I praise God that he answers prayers around here all the time. We had a letter recently from a man, I think it was in the magazine. His wife had had 14 strokes. Now, that's almost unheard of, because most doctors will tell you if you've had 3 strokes, that's the end of you. But she had had 14 strokes, was 82 years old, and had broken her hip twice, and I don't know what all. And he wrote me a letter, typed very neatly, and he said, I believe if you'll send a prayer across, my wife will be healed. Well, sometimes we get these letters, you know, and in the flesh you want to hold your head and say, oh, Lord. But we prayed at the prayer group. We prayed, put these prayer cloths on our body like Paul did. And she was unconscious in a coma for 2 years. Hadn't opened her eyes or anything. And we prayed and sent that cloth up there. And the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost was on that cloth. And when it touched her, she woke up. And he wrote us a letter in about, I think it was about 4 weeks, wasn't it, Patty? Something like that. And he said that she was already, she knew him and she wanted to go home. Well, they put her from the hospital to a rest home, out of intensive care, into a rest home. Now we get another letter the other day, and he says, I believe if you'll pray again, that she'll be capable of going home and cooking and getting her house back in order at the age of 82. Now, there is nothing impossible with the Lord. How many in here believe that you have evil activity, evil spirits operating in your life? Would you please stand up? Well, Brother Hammond, I'm going to turn it over to you. I am so glad that the Bible said the women are the weaker vessel. I really believe that. Come on, don't sit down. I want Brother Hammond to just take a look where we are this week. These people have come for help. Many of them were healed yesterday morning. There was a sweep of divine power and healing as Glenn just stood up and stopped the singing, and we began to pray for the sick. And many, many people were healed yesterday. But this is what David Wilkerson is talking about. Bless you.
Amen. Good to have you. Thank the Lord. He turned it over to me. I'll tell you who I'm going to turn it over to. I'm going to turn it over to Jesus. Amen. He's our healer, and he's our deliverer, and we're here seeking him. And he said that if we put our trust in him, we will not be put to shame. We will not be disappointed, because the Lord will meet our needs. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just turn to you right now, Lord. Hallelujah. You're still on your throne, and we're your children. We're the heirs of your promises. And your word shall never fail. Those things that you have spoken and every promise that you have given, it is of God. It is of our blessing, and we receive it today. Lord, for these who have definite needs and recognize those needs in their bodies, in their lives, Lord, we just lift all of those to you right now and ask for your Holy Spirit just to fall upon us now in the power, in the anointing of God's Spirit. Begin to move in our midst, Lord. Even now, let your healing power come forth, Lord. Touch those who have infirmities in their body, who have cancer in their body, who have hypoglycemia, all the other things, arthritis, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let your healing power fall upon us today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Pete. Hallelujah. Ida Mae, will you come to the piano? The Lord gave Ida Mae a little chorus recently, and it's not difficult for you to learn. It's out of the book of Acts. You remember when Paul was being shipwrecked one of those occasions and looked like everything was going to be lost? The angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and he spoke to all on board. He said, "Be of good cheer. I believe God. It's going to be just like I told you it was going to be." And that's what God wants your heart to lay hold of right now. You've stood to say, "I have definite needs in my life. I have something that I'm going to seek the Lord for and believe God for in these days that we have together." Well, God's saying, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Because we believe God, and it's going to be just like the Lord has said to us." All right, Adam, if you will, just leave and speak to that chorus.
Be of good cheer. I believe God.
Promises for healing? Has God made promises to you for deliverance? Then you can be of good cheer. You can be of good cheer because God will fulfill His promise to all who believe in Him. Amen. Irma gave me a tough assignment. She said to share with you just briefly, what is God saying? What do I see in the Spirit of God that God is saying? Well, that's my whole message tonight, Irma.
That's really what I wanted to bring to you. God, I'll tell you what I'm going to minister on tonight, binding the strong man, because God told me it's time to do that. I have a mandate from the Lord. God told me everywhere you go, you minister on binding the strong man. Because God says it's time. God has a timing for things that he does. And I've known for a long time that we've got to get into a dimension of spiritual warfare that we haven't gotten into as a whole. But God says now is the day. Now is the time to do it. Now, another thing God started speaking to Adam and I about a year ago, he said, work, for the night is coming when no man can work. Now, we received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, if I remember right, it's about 1968, up in a Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention in Denver, Colorado. And immediately, the Lord thrust us into spiritual warfare. We didn't know that there was a demon. But it didn't take us long in the Lord, in the school of the Lord, to find out about demons and the need to minister to people for deliverance. So we got involved in that. Then we were in a traveling ministry. I was pastoring, and the Lord at the same time began to send us out. And so back last fall, God put Adamay and I on the road almost full time. Since the first of this year, we have covered the continent north and south and east and west, literally. We started out in January. God sent us to California. Of all places, in February, we went to the Yukon Territory, right up on the Arctic Circle, where it never got above 25 below zero all the time we were up there, ministering to a lot of Indian people, Indian villages. You know, the same needs are there. You know, I've observed everywhere I go, though, the move of the Spirit is there. In some of those little Indian villages, the only kind of services they had were just a few Spirit-baptized believers that were having church up there in those little communities. Desperate needs in those places. Then we came down and ministered in the mountains of Colorado, and God sent us down through central Texas and south Louisiana. We've just recently gotten back from a trip that took us to South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York City. Then we got to go home for 3 weeks, not for vacation, but to pastor the church while the other pastor took off for his vacation. He hadn't had any time off in 2 years, so I came home so he could have some time off, and wouldn't you know, he went out and ministered. Instead of vacation. Because God is saying, work, for the night is coming. There's just not much time. So we just left this morning after 3 weeks back at home, which is in Plainview, Texas. And I told my bed goodbye this morning. We have the prospect of seeing it for 1 week in September. And that's the only time that I know of from here on to eternity that we're going to get back home for a few days. If you're at all acquainted with what the Spirit of God is doing today, you too are very aware that there is a new move of God's Spirit on today. And there is a new move in spiritual warfare and deliverance. It is deeper, it is more intense than it has ever been before. I have a conviction in my heart as to why, that it's in God's timing, because Jesus is coming soon. And his bride must be made ready. His bride must be prepared. The spots and the wrinkles have to be removed. God is not going to come for some kind of a bride that's just at the point of desperation and giving up and on her last gasp. He's coming for a strong and a pure church. And there's a lot of preparation to get us that way. God wants us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to be stable. Stable in our lives, because the shaking has begun. And everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. A lot of it's already shaking. And only if we are stabilized in the Lord and strong in the Lord are we going to be able to stand in the time of that shaking. And that's why we're here in this camp. We're not here to play around with the ministry of deliverance and just fool around with the things of the Spirit of God. These are days of absolute seriousness. And I'm thankful for what was said ahead of me when it says, well, if you mean business, Glenn says, then you can have deliverance. But if you don't really want to be free, well, nobody's going to make you be free. And you'll never be free unless you're serious about it. But if you are, God has such beautiful things for us in these days. There'll be teaching that's going to be imperative. You know, it does say in John chapter 8, verse 32, that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The verse just ahead of that, Jesus said, if you're really my disciples, you'll continue in my word. So we have to continue in the word of God. I find some people get impatient to receive the things of the Lord. Some people get impatient and want instant pudding. You know, we have instant everything around us. And some people want instant everything from God. But saints, there's some prices to pay for what God has for us. If you're willing to pay those prices, you're going to get the results. I can guarantee you that. Be patient and learn. Because if you get some deliverance and do not have the teaching, you'll not be able to retain that deliverance. It'll not last at all. But if you get the teaching and begin to discipline your life and begin to practice the things of the Word of God, then I can assure you that whatever you receive is going to be permanent.
It's going to be lasting. It's going to be complete. I'm looking forward to these days. Been a good while since we've gotten to come here to the camp in Hot Springs. But thank the Lord we're back. I see quite a few familiar faces. Some of you that were here when we were here last time or the time before that. And it's good to renew fellowship with you. Do all of you really love Jesus? Amen. Well, I'm in the right place then. Glory to God. Well, we look forward tonight at what the Spirit of God has for us. You be praying for us who will be ministering and praying for one another that the needs that are here will be fully met in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God. It's going to be just as He has said. Therefore, my heart is filled with encouragement. God will meet your needs. He will not fail you. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus, I bring my needs to Him. He is my Lord. He is my King. He is my healer. He is my deliverer. I call upon the Lord. Whosoever calls on the Lord shall be delivered. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me and setting me free to the glory of your name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Come on, Tony, Jimmy, and let's sing some courses here for a few minutes and praise the Lord. And then we'll go eat some supper and come back tonight to glorify Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.